following is sponsored by Brandon Johnson State Farm. For all of your insurance and investment needs, call 757-264-6267 or visit BrandonJohnsonAgency.com.
No big blue.
All right, Monarch Nation, thank you for tuning in today. I want to first start this off with a moment of silence. We're going to do this for our college football playoff hopes. So let's take a moment and remember what could have been. All right, thank you. Aaron, we are back in Norfolk in Virginia, 757. What a trip.
It was, man. It was a good trip. We had a good time, with the exception of a few hours of it. But even while we were there, we had a good time with the parents that are around. Let's talk about it a little bit.
All right. Old Dominion loses this game, 48-24. This game, I think we can all just say, was a major missed opportunity. Start there. Second thing we can say is just a calamity of errors. It feels like had we executed and not given them so many extra opportunities, this is a completely different result.
Yeah, this is a really weird one. I mean, we could be completely honest. We got the snot kicked out of us. It's one of those, once the score could have actually been worse, but it's one of those that the score could have actually been much better. Hey, I know we'll get into it, but things look very much alike. If you were to not have been at the game or watched the game, and you just looked at the stats with the exception of a couple very important ones, but it wasn't like the team got dominated all day long in certain things. We kind of just dominated ourselves.
Yeah, I do think with you noting that we get dominated is important. I want to start this off by saying congratulations to Marshall. They were the better team on Saturday and deserved the victory. And I don't want to talk about these what happened as if it's all an excuse to pull away from that. They were the better team on Saturday. However, being in attendance, I think this game completely changed with a failure on fourth down, the first one. The stadium was kind of flat. There was a good turnout there for their fans. It wasn't a sellout, but they had a lot of Marshall fans in attendance. None of them we talked to before the game expected Marshall to win. The energy in intros was kind of fine. It wasn't like they were loud and raucous. We hit up some early plays that were pretty big that quieted them a little bit. And then that first fourth down failure in the red zone, the stadium feels like it felt like it changed. Like it gave them a spark of hope to both the team and the fan base. And it gave their team some confidence that they needed that, hey, we can actually maybe do something here.
It set the tone. The tone right from the start.
Which
we should have, because we hit that big play. I mean, we had a very big opportunity to go up very quickly. And who knows? I mean, the game could have gone the exact way that it did. But I think that we helped it. We helped start that momentum shift with that stand, especially when you're running this kind of defense, this bend don't break kind of defense, which both teams are doing. And they bowed up. If they kept us from scoring, we could dissect whether we think it was all them or if we had a part in that. But the bottom line is they stopped us. They got the ball. They went and scored.
Yep. There were some other missed opportunities. We obviously missed a wide open AR gliding down, streaking down the sideline. He was overthrown. That drive, I believe, leads to a punt. Is that right?
I think so. I've tried to block out a lot of it, actually, you know.
Yeah, that was a punt.
I mean, when push comes to shove in this game, we had a number of opportunities. I don't think on any deep ball, we beat ourselves on every deep ball. Every deep ball either ended up in a catch or a PI, or arguably on that one a PI that didn't get called, or an overthrow. But I don't think there was a single pass broken up of probably more than 20 yards. Our receivers were getting open.
Yeah, the only one that was broken up that was long was probably about 18 yards. He does not see the bandit in the flats, and he cuts off a throw that, hey, he was open, but you got to throw it over the bandit, and we didn't do that.
Not into the hands of the bandit.
And Boogie Trotter, give him credit. He made a lot of plays on Saturday. That interception return for a touchdown is one of them. Another one, he recovered a fumble from Traquan Jones. Another error on our part. The punt returns. That's another thing we had to talk about. We muffed kicks all day. There were some issues there. But the biggest problem with muffing a kick isn't the turnover. Obviously, that sucks. But it's the fact that the defense, who's tired and just won and forced them to punt, has to go right back out there. And that's got to be so defeating for the defense, because they're just like, we just got you guys the ball, and we just gave it right back.
And we did it again on an offsides call where we forced a punt.
Right.
This was like the opposite. It was like the yin to the yang of much of the season so far. Anything that could go wrong did go wrong in this game of balls bouncing off of players for fumbles, overthrows. And when we overthrow guys got injured. Like, I don't know. There's not much that couldn't happen in a negative kind of area that didn't happen yesterday.
Yeah. And Ricky noted the communication issues, and that first fourth down failure to me is an example of a communication issue. When you go back and rewatch the play, Traquan is to Colton's left. Colton moves him over to the right. And then you can see them communicating back and forth. They hike the ball. He fakes to Traquan. And then they run both in the same exact direction. There is no handoff fakes that result in the quarterback going exactly where the running back went.
And you'd be like, hey, no, nobody's going to think. No one will think that I'm following.
And we're not a show that blames one player. One of them messed up there, right? Like, we're not going to say that it was one or the other, because we don't know. But one of them messed up there.
I think it just goes back to what you're talking about in communication. And what Ricky's talking about, the JMU press conference, which is on the YouTube channel if you guys haven't seen it yet. But we saw that all throughout the game. Another example, I know we were talking about it earlier, Mike, was on one of the punt returns, mm-hmm. where the ball comes down and it appears that there wasn't great communication on that the ball wasn't being fielded and that it was going to bounce. To let our guys know to get out of the way. It's hard to tell. Like in basketball, you can watch basketball. People don't have helmets on, so it's much easier to see communication. We just have to assume in this case that did not happen, or it would have played out differently. Just a microcosm of communication all day long.
Yeah, there's a possibility that it was called and they didn't hear it. But you have to communicate it very loud so your other teammates hear it. They repeat the same call out loud so everyone on the field knows to clear the area. It's just a lack of execution on all 11, and that's what we'll keep it at. There's so many places I can point to. Because if I actually go, I went and looked at PFF. You think with the way we were struggling to run the ball in important key downs that the O-line had a bad game. You'd be wrong. They had one of their highest graded run blocking games of the season. They pass blocked extremely well. But there were other issues, obviously, at play here that led to a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, turnover after turnover after turnover.
Five.
The official stats will say there were five turnovers, but in reality, there's at least seven. Because both of those stops, fourth down stops inside the red zone, you got to count them. Even if you wait it and you take two of them and you just make one turnover out of them. I mean, then you've got 6-0. And well, what did they score? 20?
We also had a second half failure on fourth down, which obviously at that point in the game, we're just trying to do whatever we can to crawl back into the game. That didn't decide the game. That was kind of like it's okay. It is what it is. But if you're counting all those as turnovers, now you're at 8.
I wonder if a college football game has ever been won if you've turned the ball over 8 times and your opponent turned it over 0.
I don't know factually whether this is true, but I feel pretty confident saying that's never happened. No one has ever won a game losing the turnover margin 8-0.
Yeah. If it has, it hasn't been many times.
The turnovers also led to the time possession getting wrecked in that.
And not only that, but points. They scored like 21 points off of turnovers, I think. They converted their opportunities.
Yeah, got to give them credit. But short fields, tired defense, it's going to happen.
Yep.
And then sure. Also, I mean, we just did not cash in on the opportunities we did have. I don't know, man. This just feels like we've lost games in the past where it's like, all right, they were clearly the better team, the more talented team, and they deserve to win. This feels kind of dirty. Like if everything was right, and obviously nothing was right for us, we should beat that team 9 out of 10 times. This is the one time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it wasn't a lack of talent. You saw our guys running right past their secondary. We still ran the ball, what, 4.9 yards per carry?
4.6. I mean, you don't win a lot of games averaging that.
What was the average throw?
9.5.
The yardage was almost identical despite them getting extra possessions that we've turned the ball over on.
They average less yards per rush and less yards per pass. But when push came to shove, we made mistakes. They capitalized on them, and hats off to them. I mean, good teams do that. I think Ricky said it, and I think based upon, you know, what we've talked about in the past, and you mentioned it last episode during the preview, is Marshall's a better team than what their record said, and that their quarterback presented some challenges, and he and Lacey really, really, really did. Those are the two guys we talked about. We didn't know what they had outside of that. They didn't need much more than that. Those guys just they balled out, man. They were awesome.
Yeah, we were able to create some pressure on, I think the numbers actually show we created more pressures in the game than they did on Carlos Del Rio Wilson. However, his ability to get away from that pressure and not get sacked allowed him to extend plays and, you know, get first downs. He's a really good player. I also want to give credit to Tony Gibson for how they use their bye week. He took over play calling duties on the defensive side of the ball, and took a really big gamble with how he defended us. He dared us to beat him through the air. We're committed to stopping the run. And we just didn't connect on those passes to burn him for it. If you look at a lot of the plays, they had all their linebackers and safeties within like 8 yards of the line of scrimmage. They were daring us to throw over the top, and we connected on a couple, but not enough.
Nope. And when you give the ball away, bad things happen. We had 63 offensive snaps. They had 76.
Yeah, they ran the ball like 50 times, didn't they?
Yep.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Marshall.
Yeah, you took our lunch money. Can't say much more than that, other than the people of Huntington were as hospitable as I've ever been treated on the road. So credit to the people of Huntington, West Virginia, for being great hosts. Perhaps what they expected to happen is why they were so hospitable. If this was a game that was going to be between two teams in first place, maybe they wouldn't have been as nice, but they were very nice to us, especially our host Russ from Thundercast. Shout out to him for just being the great person that he is, and really appreciate everything he did for us this weekend.
No, it was awesome. I mean, Russ went way over and above from planning the trip to the very end of the trip, of our accommodations, introducing us to people in town, took us to the Union. That was a good time hanging out over there with the local folks. They talked to some gents that are there every Friday night. I think they've got their table right in the front. Just talking to them about Marshall sports. That was cool. Going to Tudor's and getting some breakfast before the game. That place was good. I ate too much. But the breakfast, biscuits and gravy, very nice.
Yeah, I don't even want to say what I ordered because I got the Marshall namesake sandwich, the Thundering Herd. Maybe.
That's not your fault. It was Justice's fault with wearing the shoes. Although, no, you know... All right, so for those of you who weren't there, which is most because there are like 40 of us there. So Ricky mentioned my shoes in the postgame presser last week. They're really outlandish. Hey dudes that are like Hudson blue, the navy blue and white. They're pretty ugly, to be honest, but they're what's the word? Not patriotic, they're like school spirited. So, of course, I wore those on the road. Well, Justice bought a pair and had them too. So that was kind of comical. People were asking where Mike's were. Mike said he had more class than that. But after like the first quarter and a half or so, it was getting towards the half. We made Justice take his shoes off. Kind of like the rally cap in baseball to see if we could change things up. He actually went to the concession stand, and I think he might have even gone to the bathroom twice with no shoes from the upper levels of the stadium, but it did not make a difference. So, Justice, if you want to wear those shoes to a game, you're okay to do that. Clearly, it was something else.
Yeah, a lack of execution. That's really what this game boils down to. I see a lot of people trying to point fingers at coaches and whatnot. Ultimately, the coach is always to blame because they get the money, blah, blah, blah. But you muff multiple kicks. You throw multiple picks.
Fumble multiple balls.
Yeah. Coach isn't making those plays. I mean, I guess if you really want to blame them, they're putting those players out there. But ultimately, this is just a lack of execution and mistakes. And it sucks. But hats off to Marshall. You're a good host. You were the better team on Saturday. Ready to wash this game down the toilet. Why don't we take a moment? Is this for Afterglow?
Might as well. I mean, I think people could drink their sorrows away and then move on.
All right. And we'll be back with Fade Gary and some discussions on this weekend's game in Harrisonburg against the Dukes. So, Gary is overseas right now. He's traveling. He could not send us in a video, but he did send us in his picks. And he needs a bounce back week. He's had a few weeks in a row where he's struggled. He's now 11-12-1 on the season. So, I'll start that off with that. So, he's about 50-50 right now. So, you can decide to fade him or follow Gary here. His first pick is in the ULM-Troy game. He is riding with ULM plus 6. Pretty ballsy pick, I think, considering what two teams did this last weekend.
Is it ballsy or is it reckless? Is he trying to...
Maybe he's thinking this will be a letdown spot for Troy. ULM had played good defense. Their offense is just putrid. Kind of similar to last year, but they still don't have the talented running back they had. So he did not explain his picks. He just said them to me and Aaron. Next one, Maryland plus 3 versus UCLA. I understand this pick. Maryland is off to a very good start. UCLA has been kind of up and down. They kind of had the lift up UCLA did with their new OC head coach change. But from years of experience of watching college football, that is a brief increase of improvement. The dead cat bounce is what they call it. So he's riding with Maryland plus 3 on the road, or plus 3. And then Ole Miss plus 6.5 against Georgia. She's riding with Kiffin. He's taking the Rebs or Land Sharks or whatever the hell they are now. He's riding with Ole Miss. So there you go. That's the Fade Gary for this week. Let's move on to JMU.
Before we talk about JMU, we'd be remiss to not thank Brandon Johnson again, the Brandon Johnson Agency, of sponsoring our trip to Marshall. Without that, it would have cost us a lot more to be able to make that trip happen and bring this content. So if there's anyone, hey, if you're out there, and you're pissed off at your insurance agent, they're not servicing you the way that you deserve to be, or you're just looking for a second opinion on something, maybe you're open to new ideas, reach out to Brandon. The information's in the show notes. It was at the top. One cool thing of having been in the business of some of the things that he does now is he's a young guy. So if you want someone you can be with for a long time, you don't have to worry about changing agents as you age gracefully. He's your guy. All right, let's move on.
All right. So we started the show off by kind of saying goodbye to our college football playoff hopes. However, we have a lot of things we can still accomplish this season. And it all starts this week with a hate in a hate week, a rivalry week with JMU. We can still win this conference. We can still win this division. We can still cross the final, the 500 mark, which we haven't done under Ricky yet. Those are all great things that we can accomplish. But I think the thing we should focus on accomplishing is winning game five. Take it one game at a time. Stop getting ahead of ourselves, because that hurt to get ahead of ourselves and build all that up and have it go away.
Yeah, for sure. Just like the team. I mean, Ricky preaches 1-0 after I think the way that much of the fan base feels during and following that game, we need that. We need a win. We certainly have to play better. That's key this week. If the team doesn't play better, now you've got the fan base is going to be in a really bad headspace. Got to go on the road again. Just difficult. Marshall's a little bit of, well, it's probably more of a difficult trip for us since we drove and didn't fly. But you've got back-to-back weeks on the road. Marshall plays better at home. And JMU certainly is a difficult place to play at. You can look at their record at home. They've been awesome. They've been awesome on the road too, but it's a really difficult place to play. It's their homecoming. 2 years ago, we were there during that time. You know, the students are, they're motivated. They've got their, you're younger than me, Mike. They've got their, what's their jugs called?
Oh, what are they? They still have those?
They all have
I think that was,
2 years ago.
I think that's, they're out of style now. I have not seen those in a while.
Is that, things move that fast? It's only been 2 years.
I mean, they're dangerous.
Holy moly. This is an important, obviously every game is important. College football, it's not like Major League Baseball where you got so many games in the season where if you drop, you know, 4 or 5 games in a row, it's a minor inconvenience, but you can overcome it without much difficulty. And college football is much more difficult. So this is a road game. It's going to be really difficult. And then, you know, you've got another game, another tough game right after it. So this team has to bounce back. They've got to find a way to flush that last one down the toilet and go to a really difficult place to play with a really good team and compete.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, you're thinking of Borgs. Blackout Rage Gallons.
Borgs. That's right. Because every student had one of those last time we were there. I was like, what?
But it was also Halloween the last time we played there. So we had the benefit of them all leaving to go party at halftime. We're not going to have that benefit this year for a 3:30 kick. Those kids are going to stay and party and keep rooting on their Dukes, assuming we don't make them leave.
That would be helpful.
Now, if you've been paying attention to JMU this season, they have been doing this consistent thing. And Aaron, I already know where you know where I'm going with this because we talked about it on the way home. We need to jump on this team early.
Yes.
If we can jump on this team early and put them down in a deep hole, that is our best chance to win this weekend. If it's a close game at half, I don't think we can win this game. All season long, they are making great second half adjustments at halftime and then taking over their ball games. But the first half, they look sluggish and beatable.
It's crazy. They look like two completely different teams. First half, second half.
Offensively, yes.
Yeah. From the defensive side, they've played well all year long.
Yeah.
So you're right. We've got to when we have the opportunities, we have to seize them. We have to score. We need to put them in a position where they're going to have to throw the ball more than they want to throw the ball because they can run the rock. I mean, they've got lots of talented backs. They've got a really talented offensive line, and they can run the ball. And they've got a quarterback that can do the same thing. But if we force him to pass more than he wants to pass and more than Chesney wants him to pass, it gives us the best opportunity to, you know, to leave Harrisonburg with a victory.
Now, if we go through their season, throw out game one, they played Weber State, FCS. Throw out game two, they played Louisville. They did play them close. They gave them a good fight, but that's a we don't need to focus on that loss. I don't think it's very reminiscent of who they are at the G5 level. Their third game was against Liberty, a common opponent of ours. Heading into the fourth quarter, they were down four.
I think, and that was with Vasco going out at the half.
Sorry, they were up four going into the third quarter. Sorry, they were tied at 10 at the half, like we said. They outscored Liberty 21-3 in the second half.
Yep, threw the afterburners on.
All right, next game, Georgia Southern has an Old Dominion Marshall-type game. Georgia Southern just doesn't do anything right, turns the ball over way too much. JMU blows them out from the beginning to the end. But Georgia State, this was a 7-7 game pretty much the entire game, and JMU pulls away in like the last minute to win 14-7. That's a 1-4 Georgia State team. Next game, Louisiana. We got text about this game at when we were in Marshall. It's loading. Sorry.
Yeah, because Louisiana was winning that game.
Louisiana was winning that game 14-7 and a half. JMU outscores them 17-0 in the second half, wins 24-14.
That second half has they've been just ridiculous, ridiculously good. Second half, you cannot.
Yeah, their defense gets better, their offense gets better, and they just win games. But that's why the first half is so important. You got to jump on this team and make them have to crawl out of a big hole, or we're going to be the next team in this line of like, hey, we almost had them in a half, and then they stomped us in the second.
And everybody knows that. I mean, their coaching staff, their players, they're confident. They know that if it's close at the half, that they're confident they're going to win the game because they've done it all season long. And guess what? The teams that they're playing, they know it too. They know what's up. So it starts little seeds of doubt, especially if you have opportunities in the first half that you don't capitalize on, like what we did at Marshall. When you come away with drives that you should have points on that you don't. And really with JMU, it's like you want to score touchdowns and not field goals. When you're inside the five, first and goal, you got to find a way to put those balls in the end zone and force Chesney to do things that he doesn't really want to do. Make them be uncomfortable. And you got to shut the crowd up because they've got great fans and it's going to be loud. Marshall wasn't loud. Marshall was never loud. Even when they were just whooping our ass, it was never loud.
And they didn't have to get loud.
Not be that way.
Yeah, Marshall never was put in a position where they had to get loud.
That's true.
I will say this. Those three games where they were struggling at the half, Louisiana is a decent ball club, but Georgia State and Liberty, I don't think anyone would call them a good team this year. Our team is a good matchup for this team. So let's look at this matchup. Looking at this, Aaron, why don't you give your take first?
Well, I mean, overall, it looks like both teams match up pretty, you know, pretty well. You know, our offense has the edge. Their defense has the edge.
Yeah. That's a good summation. But as the opposition, you got to look for opportunities, right?
Yep.
Where on their offense do you think, because their defense has been lights out. So you got to attack their offense.
Their pass blocking lacks.
And they're passing. They are struggling passing the ball. It's not pretty. with pressure or without.
Yeah. And that's why all the stuff we talked about before is we've got to take control of this game and force them to play a game that they don't want to play. And I don't think that Chesney wants to have to throw the ball more than they rush. I don't know the breakdown of what they normally, you know, percentage wise rush to pass is, but my gut tells me that when they rush the ball more and they're not forced into, you know, down a distance and be, you know, throwing the ball significantly more, they are much more successful. And that's probably in the second half of the games that they've been in, they've been able to do.
So, Aaron, you mentioned how often do they run. I saw this earlier. I'm going to bring it up again so I give you the right number. I remember the number being we were opposite of each other. So we pass more than we run, right? Their percentage was almost the exact opposite. So the amount that they pass is equal to how much we run. I think it was 59%.
Let's see, passing. It looks like they've had 167 passing attempts on the season and 270 rushes. So there's significantly more rushes than passes.
So they run the ball 59% of the time. They pass it 40% of the time. We rush it 57%. We throw it 42%. So it's pretty close. Their completion percentage is slightly higher. Their red zone is slightly higher. Their third down conversion is slightly higher. I don't know. We average two yards more per play. We average 1.4 more points per play. We're at 0.46 points per play. They're at 0.32 points per play. That passing success that we have had is that difference.
Yeah, almost what? 80 plus yards a game, because rushing is pretty much equal. Big difference is they've giving up less than 14 points a game.
Yeah. So we gotta challenge this week. We gotta score on this defense somehow. We gotta make them something they haven't been this year.
Yeah. They've been very successful in stuffing their opponent's run this year. They give up, what, less than 100 yards? I don't know the exact number, but really, really well. And obviously, we want to run the ball effectively. We need to be able to run the ball effectively. Zach Barlow said it in the presser that came out today. And basically said that is they're good at stopping the run. We need to be able to run the ball. So it'll be interesting to watch that matchup. I think we're going to figure it out relatively early in the game of how that's going. But that certainly is going to be a key to the game.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested to see. Last year was a shootout with them. We lost 32-35. I'm trying to remember how we ran the ball in that game. We ran for 174 yards on them last year, 4.7 yards per attempt, 4 rushing touchdowns. We ran the ball pretty well. They outran us. We outpassed them. Or no.
What? Colton was 9 for 21 with 189 yards and an interception.
And he added 61 yards on the ground. Aaron Young had a bell cow day, 17 carries for 116 yards and a touchdown, a long of 51 yards. And then a couple gadget plays with Isaiah Page, right?
Yeah. They ran the ball for 233 yards. Held the ball for almost 38 minutes.
92 from their quarterback.
Same quarterback.
But He has not shown that ability to run this year after coming off that injury. But they have more, they have a deeper backfield this year. Medaway and Adeyi haven't really even played, and they continue to run the ball over everybody. So
testament to that line.
Yeah, it's the same case every year, it seems like, with JMU. No matter what happens, that they are really good in the trenches.
Both they sides, yep.
They can recruit O-line and D-linemen better than anyone in this conference.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. It's going to be a fun one. I'm excited. We got this bus trip. We sold it out. So we're going to have a lot of fans. I think we sold out the ODU bus or the ODU guest section. So that means we should have 1,000 ODU fans there making noise.
That's awesome.
Which is quite different from last week when we were in Marshall with like 30 other people.
25 of which were parents and family.
Yeah.
Shout out to all of them. It was great hanging out with them, and it's cool to see how much they care, you know, care for their kids and their nephews and stuff like that. And obviously spending a ton of money and a ton of time traveling across the country, wherever they happen to be playing. It's really, really cool to see that level of dedication to their kids.
It is. They're all great people. Obviously love their kids and are willing to make that investment of time and money into them. The other thing we got to note for this week are those injuries we saw. Obviously, we've been talking about the linebacker injuries for a while now. We don't have an update there. But this week, we saw Ja'Cory Thomas and Trey Brown both go down with injuries. We're going to have to do a next man up mentality if neither of them can play, because they have both been crucial in our success this year. And we need them. Like, you need that level of quality at the receiver position if we have any chance of going into JMU and winning this game.
100%. Fortunately, we've got guys that can do it. You know, AR really kind of burst onto the scenes. You know, Trey Brown, or his dad calls him Truth, you know, has really been a consistent and an explosive player for us. Obviously, he got nicked up again at this last game, and so he's going to be a little sore. But it seemed like he was fine after the game, and he'll play. But some guys are going to have to step up. You're right. You can't just have – well, Marshall really had one guy that killed us, but our offense operates a little differently, and we need those multiple options.
That, and to go beat a team as talented defensively as James Madison at home, it's kind of an all hands on deck situation where you need everyone pitching in and doing their part to leave there with a victory. Yeah, I think we're going to need to have a lot of success through the year early to change how they defend us. Because we saw with Marshall, they dared us to throw. And if you aren't consistently beating them through the air, they don't have any reason to back off.
Sure.
We need to find some success through the air early and avoid those costly errors.
Yes. Those turnovers. No turnovers. Be nice to cause one or two of them. Yeah, we're due, right?
Yeah, we didn't have any last week. And we've been pretty good at causing turnovers this year. So let's get back on the right side of that equation.
And as bad as Monarch Nation especially felt during and after that game, if the fellas are able to go up to Harrisonburg and win this game, I think folks are going to be feeling a whole lot better. I mean, we're 4-2 right now. could be a 5-2 team winning on the road in Harrisonburg against JMU and coming home.
For homecoming.
I think at the beginning of the season, if we were to talk about where we were, if we would be at this point with this record and going into the JMU with the opportunity to be 5-2, I think most fans would probably have bought that.
100%. I don't know if any of them would have mapped it out this way.
No. Probably not.
We'll take it. It's 4-2. It's solid start to the season. It opens up a world of possibilities for us to have arguably the best year for Old Dominion football history at this level.
Yep. A lot of meaningful football ahead.
Yeah. So let's make it happen. I'm excited to see how many OU fans are in the building. I hope we somehow manage to buy some extra tickets in other sections and have a good showing. These guys deserve your support. Our fans got to get used. I don't want to be mean to the fans right now, but we need to get used to going on the road to support our team more often. Like we said, Marshall, I mean, it's a 7-hour trip. It's a long trip. But to see how other teams in the conference travel makes me a little jealous.
And this is one that is an easy drive.
Yep.
If you don't, you know, if you have a change of heart and you don't have tickets, go on StubHub, go on SeatGeek, go on wherever, grab some tickets. It's not a hard drive to get to JMU. It's actually kind of nice, especially if you like mountains. If you're on our bus trip, they emailed you the itinerary. I think it's an 8 a.m. pickup at the park and ride in Virginia Beach at 970 Rion Drive for you. Here, we'll be in Mechanicsville at like 10:30, and then we'll be at JMU at 1:30. So, but if you are on the bus trip, just check your email. I think they sent it out on October 6th, Monday, October 6th. But if you didn't get that email and you need it for some reason, just call Venture. They'll be happy to help you out. Nina will send that to you. But, I mean, as disappointed we were at the in-between and the end of that game, I'm excited for this week.
Yeah, me too. It's always a good opportunity to see a rivalry game in person and root on the Monarchs against JMU. I hope a lot of people are taking that opportunity to do that. I hope you guys are all excited. And if you can't make the trip, maybe it's work, maybe it's family-related, remember Afterglow is your spot to go in the 757. They will be hosting another watch party. We heard that we had a pretty good turnout again for the Marshall game. So let's continue that. Keep supporting this team, because when you are coming off a rough loss like that, what you need are fans behind you, rooting you on, and making sure they know that you trust and believe in them, that they should be the team that should be winning conference championships. I believe that. This team is good enough. It's got the talent. Arguably, I think this is the most talented team in the league, offensively and defensively. We just got to show it and support these guys so they know it and go out and perform like it.
And this is that opportunity to do so. Let's see how they respond. Don't give up on this team. You know, this, I know it's going to become a running joke, Mike, as we talk about this is the week that we're going to know what we have in the football team. We said this week was going to be the week. We said before Liberty was going to be the week. But honestly, after what we saw at Marshall, the way that this team responds, the way that this team comes out at JMU, I really truly believe that this, we will know what we have for the rest of the season come Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. And we closed last episode where you asked how much we believed. We talked about the Tech game and the Liberty and all that. And I admitted that it had a lot of weight. I just hope it doesn't become like that mirage, you know?
Yep.
Mistakes. So many mistakes.
Not this week. Can't afford it.
No, this is too good of a team to give extra opportunities to. Not just talking five, talking like two. You can't give this team one or two extra opportunities. They will make you pay.
You will.
All right, are you ready for make your prediction?
Do I have to?
Hey, we can shake hands and say, no time for predictions. This is a time for just the team to prove what they are.
Yeah. I predict that I'm going to jump on that bus and I'm going to be one of the loudest fans in the stadium. And I'm going to have a good time. And I really hope to see this team respond and be really I'm trying to think of how it would come together because it was a complete ass whooping all across the board. There's no one person to point a finger at. They all have to come together and they ought to be like within that locker room, not even the coaches, you know, brothers next to each other to go, this will not happen again. And we had a couple of players that we saw Saturday evening walking out of the gate into the bus. But those were the exact words that they had. And it was clear that they were very self-reflective in how much that hurt. So we're going to find out, right? Put up or shut up.
David, if you're watching this, you could put me down for an Old Dominion win. Team's good enough. The team's good enough. It has a talent.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And
they absolutely are good enough. They're good enough. Yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
They just got to do. Everybody just got to do their thing. Got to do their job. That includes us as fans.
Hey, it all goes down to that 1-0 mentality. If you win every play, you win the game. Fans, go 1-0 on Saturday. Support this team. Get loud and believe in this squad. And we will go 1-0.
Damn straight.
All right. You got any closing shots?
Beat JMU. Go Monarchs.
Beat the Dukes. Go Monarchs. Let's take control of this East Division back. We need it. Thanks for tuning in. One more Go Monarchs because it just one wasn't enough. Bring your asses to Harrisonburg. Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs. I'm